Dasodhanandana Brajajanaranjana Jasodhanandana Brajajanaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi jana balabha girivara dhari Gopi jana balabha girivara dhari Jasodhanandana Brajajanaranjana Dana Brajajanaranjana Jasodhanandana Brajajanaranjana Dana Brajajanaranjana Jamana Tiravana Chadi Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Vishnu Padpada Mahamsa Arivedika Chaudhara Jalasthi Ananda Koti Vaishnavarinda Keed Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Keed Gorpimanam Deen Give an elephant. There's an elephant in the lobby. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 65. Chapter 15, Canto 7. Okay, what's the one we're chanting? So it goes 63 to 65. Perfect. We're going to go back to 62 because they're all connected. Atmajaya Satadinam Anyesham Sarvadehinam Yatsvartha Kamayor Aikyam dravyadvetam tad uchate atmajaya satadinam anyesham sarvadehinam yatsvartha kamayor aikyam dravyadvetam tad uchate. Atmajaya satadinam anyesham sarvadehinam yatsvartha kamayor aikyam dravyadvetam charuchate. Kunti. Anyesham sarvadehinam yatsvartha kamayor aikyam dravyadvetam charuchate. Uchate. Don Kelly. Atma of one's self, Jaya, wife, Suta Adinam, and children, Anyesham, of one's relatives, etc., Sarvadehinam, of all other living entities, yet whatever, sva artha kamayo, of one's ultimate goal and benefit, aikyam, oneness, dravya advaitam, oneness of interest, tat uchate, it is called. Translation, when the ultimate goal and interest of one's self, one's wife, one's children, one's relatives, and all other embodied living beings is one, this is called dravyadvaita, or oneness of interest. Now this verse is part of a series of four verses. I'm going to go, before reading the purport, I'm going to read. Yesterday was 62. Subal, yesterday was verse 62. Okay, then Saturday was 62. Who spoke on? And who spoke on Saturday morning? Okay. Okay, thank you. Whew, got that one out of the way. So 62 begins a series of four verses that are deeply philosophical. So, you know, deeply philosophical class for Monday morning. It's a special challenge, so I'll try to be a little entertaining, maybe do a couple of cartwheels and throw some water. And, you know. But it's a philosophical topic, deeply philosophical topic. So prepare yourselves. This is discussing Advaita philosophy. But in terms of Srimad Bhagavatam, everybody's not asleep yet. Advaita philosophy is it's boring. It's very dry, and it's a misunderstanding. At least the Shankaracharya version of it is quite twisted. At the same time, that the Bhagavatam teaches us that the absolute truth is non-dual. What's the verse where the Bhagavatam teaches us that the absolute truth is non-dual? Vedanti tat tattva vidas tatvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabhyate. So the learned transcendentalists understand that the absolute truth is advaya gyan. Wow, that was nice. Advaya gyan. Didn't happen twice. Jiva Goswami, in his Tattva Sandarbha, uses this verse and the phrase advaya gyan in a very interesting and an important foundational way in establishing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Advaya gyan. Advaya gyan. He translated by Gopi Pranadana and Bhanuswami as absolute consciousness. The idea is to understand it's connected to this. Understand the message of the Bhagavatam is Bhagavan. And to understand how the Bhagavatam reveals Bhagavan, one of the ways it reveals Bhagavan is by revealing the qualities of a living entity, because both are of this Advaya Gyan property or quality. So Advaya Gyan, the absolute truth, Krishna, that he Krishna is the topic, or Bhagavan is the topic of Bhagavat Purana, and he's of this Advaya Gyan. So that means quality, as are the living entities. So the absolute truth is the message of the all of the Vedas. The absolute truth, we know from Vedanta Sutra, the definition is that from which everything comes. Whatever that is, tat, whatever that is, that's the absolute truth. So Bhagavatam teaches us that the absolute truth is Bhagavan, who also has these additional features, Paramatma and Brahman, are also of the Advaya Gyan property or quality. And then the mystery, well, part of the mystery, is what about this place? This place is temporary. It's Asat. So what's the relationship of Asat with Sat or Tat? It's the absolute truth. The Bhagavatam teaches us in one of the essential verses of the whole Bhagavatam is understanding what Maya is. It's that which appears to be separate from the Supreme Lord. So the verse, in simple language, is, please know, this is the Supreme Lord teaching one of the four essential verses of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam to Lord Brahma. Know that that which appears to exist separately and have value separately from the Supreme Lord, know that to be my illusory energy. I'll say it again. Know that that which appears to have, the word is artha, that which appears to have value or some substantial existence separate from me, know that to be my illusory energy. The illusory energy, say it reverse. Illusory energy allows one to see things as having an existence separate from Vishnu, who is speaking to Brahma. That's the illusory energy. So the Advaita Vada folks, the monists, they don't want to acknowledge Bhagavan, but they want to see that nothing exists separate from Brahman. So one of the things they do is just call it false. It doesn't exist, because all there is Brahman. So this is false. And that leads to a whole convoluted, what Jiva Goswami calls is not just irrational, there's another word that he uses, incomprehensible, just babble, to try to explain the notion of upadis or designations that are superimposed. I'm explaining this because it's in the language of the purport. It's superimposed upon Brahman. Don't ask us how. Don't ask us where the upadis come from, because different Mayavadis say the upadis are false. They don't exist. They just don't exist. Some say they're real, and some say they're not real. There's not all Mayavadis are one. So the how may differ, but the conclusion is all there is Brahman. That's the Advaita Vadis. So these verses are dealing with the proper understanding, the Bhagavat understanding of the non-dual consciousness or Advaita existence of all things connected with the Jiva and Bhagavan. You with me? Did I lose anybody? Because we're going to launch now. Okay. So the speaker is Narada. The person who he's speaking to is Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira is not just a Kshatriya. He's the son of Yamaraj. He's highly, highly elevated personality. Highly elevated. So he's able to understand what Narada's teaching. Narada's in a role like spiritual master. The Pandavas have multiple such persons in their lives. Narada's very kind in giving, imparting somebody again, transcendental knowledge about the individual, the Atma, and about the activities in this world of the Atma, Kriya, and about that which is generated from those activities, the paraphernalia, dravya, the self, the activities, and the object or paraphernalia of life. And it's the bottom line here is advocacy of seeing all those things in relation to the source of those things. Now, Mayavadis don't see the source of all those things as a person that has potencies, because that won't work. Then you have two. You have a potent possessor of potency and potency. So for my bodies, that doesn't work. So you have to have another conception of, a misconception of Advaita in order to get there. This is giving us the Bhagavat conception of Advaita. You ready? So there's three. Bhava, Advaita, Kriya, Advaita, and Dravya, Advaita. So oneness about conception of life or self, oneness about conception of activities, and oneness about conception of paraphernalia. After considering the oneness of existence, activity, and paraphernalia, and after realizing the self to be different from all actions and reactions, the muni, or mental speculator, according to his own realization, gives up the three states of wakefulness, dreaming, and sleep. Because I've just been studying this, and Jiva Goswami points to this very same message found here at the end of chapter, or canto 7, in canto 11, where Pippalayana Rishi is describing to King Mimi the same type of thing. It's very complicated, it's very subtle, but it's the same thing. That there's part of self-realization is to distinguish ourselves from misidentification with the states of covered consciousness, awake, sleep, and deep sleep. That's what's being described here. Narada is describing to Yudhisthira this non-dual realized state of detachment from the temporal states of consciousness. And there's the three R again, Bhava, Kriya, and Dravya. Bhava, way that it's being presented here is conception of life, or Atma, this conception of self, conception of our activities, and the conception of paraphernalia generated from our activities. That's what's in this verse, this wife and household items and relatives and all others. The purports here are very short. I'm going to read them. So for that purport for text 62, the three words Bhavadvaita, Kriyadvaita, and Dravyadvaita are explained in the following verses. However, one has to give up all the non-duality of philosophical life in the material world and come to the actual life of reality in the spiritual world in order to attain perfection. One has to let go of even being a Mayavadi or a monist, that conception of Advaita, and come to the devotional conception. Because the devotional conception has its aspect of different and non-different at the same time. Text 63, which is part of this morning's assignment. When one understands that result and cause are one, and that duality is ultimately unreal, like the idea that the threads of a cloth are different from the cloth itself, one reaches the conception of oneness called Bhavadvaita. It's Monday morning. It's like, what's going on here? Too challenging. There's no purport, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given a purport. And his purport for 62. Well, just before 62 is 61. The issue that is being addressed by these verses, 62, 63, 64, and 65, these four verses, summarized in the previous purport. The Advaitavadis do not respect the eternal abode of the Lord and its elements which arise from the Ladini Shakti and other spiritual Shaktis completely different from Maya Shakti. They don't want to do that. They don't do that. They refuse to do that. These verses are helping us understand we need to do that. We need to recognize there is a Bhagavan conception of non-dual. There's the Lord in his abode and his associates and his paraphernalia, and it's non-dual. There's variegatedness in Goloka, in the spiritual world. And this is a very tight philosophical presentation to help us understand that, given by Narada to Yudhisthira. The Advaitavadis criticize Goloka as an error of equating the unreal with the real through their philosophy of transformation of Brahman following a blind tradition. It goes on. So that's the contention or the issue Vishwanath is disclosing. What's going on? What's in the background? What's the reason why he's going through this philosophical presentation? So the purport for 62, which that was what Nityananda Pran spoke on, Vishwanath writes, now the philosophy of Advaita is made firm, proper understanding of the Bhagavad conception of Advaita, this Advaita Gyan message. The philosophy of Advaita is made firm by teaching about the three states of perception. This is explained in four verses. The three states of perception in this dual realm, wake, sleep, deep sleep. So the wake is, anyway. Paragraph. Considering non-difference in thought, action, and objects with the self. So the non-difference between who I am, the conception of who I am, my activities and the objects or paraphernalia of my life from a non-dual perspective. By realization of Atma, the sage destroys differences in the form of three types of sleep. What's that? One sleep is thinking of differences between objects. Second sleep is thinking of different activities. That's verse 64. Different activities for differently qualified persons. The third sleep is thinking that what I receive as a result of action belongs to me. That these, using the word sleep means material consciousness. Material consciousness when you're awake and just contemplating who you are. Material consciousness of what your activities are, material consciousness of what's generated when you do activities. Three categories of sleep or illusion, Maya. And the spiritual world is distinct. Maya is not operating. The internal potency is operating. And the Ladini Shakti is, as mentioned, manifesting so many things. So now, 63, the verse that we read that had no purport, this non-difference of conception of self means seeing the effect and the cause as one, like threads related to a cloth, since all these are unreal, arising from misconception. Commentary. One considers effect and cause to be one. The thread, parentheses, cause, is not the cloth, effect, but can be seen as one with it. The cloth is made up of threads. There's a oneness, but the thread is not the cloth. This is, you know, difference and non-difference. The Bhagavad conception is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is the Bhagavad conception. Either way you want to say it. And there is oneness, and there's difference. Krishna is the source of everything, so there's this kind of oneness between all things and Krishna. But all things are not Krishna. There's not absolute oneness. The thread is not the cloth, but the cloth is simply a series of threads woven together. So using the example of thread and cloth, there's the example of who we are and the source of who we are. Collectively, all of us are parts and parcels of Krishna, but we're not Krishna. The thread is not the cloth, using the example. We're one in the sense that we're part and parcel of Krishna, but we're not Krishna. The effect is not the cause. And material nature also is an effect, but it's not, it's real. We don't say what Mayavadis say, it's false. It's not what it appears to be, but it's not false. It's philosophy, I'm sorry, it's Monday morning. Those are the verses. Then 64. So that's Bhava Dvaita. The conception, the proper Advaita conception of self, who am I? And then the proper Advaita conception of activity. Text 64. My dear Yudhisthira, when all the activities one performs with mind, words, and body are dedicated directly to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one reaches oneness of activities called Kriya Dvaita. This is the Bhagavad conception of oneness of activities with the Lord, dedicating those things which are not Him, but are from Him to Him. That's oneness of activities with the Lord, with the source of everything. Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is teaching people how to come to the stage of dedicating everything to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says, in Bhagavad Gita 9:27, yad karoshi, yad asnashi, yad jahosi dadasi, yad tapasyasi kaunteya, tat kurashva, madarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. Same paragraph. If whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we think, and whatever we plan is for the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement, this is oneness. There is no difference between chanting for Krishna consciousness and working for Krishna consciousness on the transcendental platform. They are one. But we must be guided by the spiritual master about this oneness, semicolon, we should not measure our own oneness. Small caution. So, here's Vishwanath speaking on the same point. So bhavadvaita, this is now kriya. Kriya means activity. Kriya-dvaita, the oneness of activity. My dear Yudhisthira, when all the activities one performs with mind, words, and body are dedicated directly to Brahman, the Prabhupada has just made it the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Brahman indicates the Personality of Godhead. It is called oneness of action, his commentary. One should offer all actions of mind, words, and body to the Brahman, capital B, to Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since one will perceive difference in action by seeing different results, one should offer everything only to the Lord. Then there are no different results. That is oneness of action. Different results as Krishna is pleased. Devotional service is performed. It's not like, you know, you're in the kitchen. It doesn't matter whether you put salt or pepper, because it's all one. That's not the meaning. There's diversity in action, but the result is one. It's offering to the Supreme. It comes to the same spiritual platform. Exactly as Prabhupada is saying, one who is chanting or one who is working in Krishna consciousness, they're on the same platform. Guru Kripa Prabhu was telling me one time, he's really proud of, in a good sense, of the fact that he was very instrumental in helping to generate the funds for the construction of Krishna Balaram Mandir and the guest house. So he was sharing with me, you know, he would personally bring so much money so that the construction continue, and I forget the number, they had some number, 300 workers, some large number, working on the guest house for hours. Was his personal inconvenience expense was no problem. He wanted the work done. So philosophically, they're on the same platform. The workers bang, 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 and kirtan is different sound vibration, but they're on the same platform. That is also kirtan. There's also that is enter into that state of oneness. That state of oneness with activity is everything is for Krishna. That's the Bhagavan conception of Kriya Advaita. So let's go to this one, text 65. I'll read the translation again and the purport. So this is now Dravya Advaita, paraphernalia, seeing that as its condition of oneness with the Supreme. When the ultimate goal and interest of oneself, one's wife, one's children, one's relatives, and all other embodied living beings is one, that is called Dravyadvaita, or oneness of interest. Purport. The actual interest of all living entities, indeed the goal of life, is to return home back to Godhead. This is the interest of one's self, one's wife, one's children, one's disciples, one's friends, relatives, countrymen, and all humanity. The Krishna consciousness movement can give directions for management by which everyone can partake in Krishna conscious activities and reach the ultimate goal, which is known as Svartha Gatim. This objective of everyone's interest is Vishnu, but because people do not know this, Nattevidu Svartha Gatim hi Vishnum, they are making various plans by which to fulfill so many concocted interests in life. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying to bring everyone to the highest interest. The process may be differently named, but if the aim is one, people should follow it to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Unfortunately, people are thinking of different interests. And blind leaders are misleading them. Everyone is trying to reach the goal of complete happiness materially, because people do not know what complete happiness is. They are materially diverted toward different interests. And this is another consistent message within the Bhagavatam, along with, we'll go back to this Chaturshloki verse of the Bhagavatam, seeing things as being separate and having value and substance separate from me, Lord Vishnu is saying. That's my, know that to be my illusory energy. So, since that's one of the Chaturshloki verses, other places in the Bhagavatam expand in many, many verses. Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls this mantra vistarani. Vistarani means expanding. So the mantra expanded is the Bhagavatam. And one of the sections here is Narada speaking to Yudhisthira. Another is Kapiladeva speaking to Devahuti. When he is describing to Devahuti about bhakti, he says bhakti is where there's no separate interest. And then he, pratak bhava, one who has separate interest. He calls it, Prabhupada's translation is a separatist. You know, in common use of language in America, separatist is not nice. It's pejorative. It has some bad connotations, a separatist. So material consciousness is where one is a separatist. Separatist in the sense of one who has an interest, exactly as this purport is saying, or sees things as existing separate from, and therefore up for grabs. If I see something, like Prabhupada's example, someone's walking down the street, you see a wallet or some money. The one is, it doesn't belong to me, I just walk by. The other, it doesn't belong to anybody, I put it in my pocket. And others, you find out who it belongs to. So there's different mentalities. The separatist mentality is, doesn't belong to anybody, I make it mine. But it does belong to somebody, it comes from a source. And when we enter this world, everything has its source. We're not trained outside of spiritual sound vibration. We're not trained to see things as coming from the ultimate source. We're trained to how to get some of it and more of it if you can. That's material consciousness. The Bhagavatam is speaking against material consciousness, and this Advaita consciousness is not the Mayavadi kind either. It's not false, and it's not, you know, anything other than from Krishna, belongs to Krishna. So activities may generate something. Just like the chair I'm sitting in, somebody, a carpenter or some manufacturer, made the chair out of wood and cotton and some nails and whatever else they use. Taking ingredients that come from Prakriti and fashioning them, so now it belongs to the carpenter that made it or the company that produced it, and through my hard earnings, our temple's earnings, we bought one. Now we have a chair. Material life doesn't foster consciousness of Krishna. It's just material in the absence of, or there may be some platitude, some language that says something about God. But the essential is, the essence is to this, see things in relation to God. And then there's oneness with God in paraphernalia, now going backwards in activity, and oneness in conception of self and the selves of others. Here's a Vishwanath on this verse, text 65. Short. First, the translation. When the ultimate goal and interest of oneself, one's wife, one's children, one's relatives, and all other embodied living beings is one, the goal or interest, sva, artha. Prabhupada has taken his commentary directly from Vishwanath's interest or goal. It's very important. What's the purpose of life? What's the purpose of whatever you do, whatever relations you have, whatever paraphernalia you have? What's the purpose of it? When the ultimate goal and interest of all these things is one, that is called oneness of objects, or Dravya Advaita. Commentary. One should see oneness of one's own sadhana, parentheses, artha, so the thing that we're, that's the objective of our sadhana, of what we do, how we live our life. One should see oneness of one's sadhana and its goals or enjoyment with those of one's wife, sons, and others who are not related, since they are all made of five elements, and since all jivas are one in being the enjoyer, meaning we're the secondary enjoyer. So, as I am, so each one of us are by constitution, we're to be enjoyed by Krishna. He's the satisfying Krishna, is the object for me. And similarly, when there's oneness for us, or in all living entities, then whatever is generated is also, it's like spiritual communism. It's meant for Krishna's pleasure. It's Krishna's, meant for Krishna's pleasure. At least that's, you know, the consciousness behind the activity of one who is following Bhagavad Dharma. So let's go back, little review. All of this discussion starts with the Advaitavadis not acknowledging Bhagavan and the abode of Bhagavan, Goloka. They have a problem with that. They decry it because that means there's the Brahman conception is not right. That means there's the energy and the energetic and the abode of the energetic. And then you have multiple things. You can't have that. So they deny it. But the Bhagavad conception is it does exist, all in a non-dual relationship with the Supreme. I remember Prabhupada's response to a reporter in New York. Swamiji, the Hare Krishna movement is growing so quickly. Maybe the whole world, do you see that the whole world will become Krishna conscious? Some answer like, that will not happen. But then if it were to happen, Swamiji, what would that be like? And his eyes got really big, and he said it would be Vaikuntha. So Vaikuntha here means making this place the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, it's this external energy. But if one sees the microphone and the microphone stand and the temple room and the altar and one another as connected with Krishna, then it fosters Krishna consciousness. That's Vaikuntha. We can establish Vaikuntha here, or the spiritual world here. Places of pilgrimage of Krishna can be established by the activities of Krishna consciousness. That was one of the purposes of ISKCON. Establish places of pilgrimage. How do you do that? You get Krishna to come. How do you get Krishna to come? Hear and chant. Have kirtan. Krishna comes in the form of his holy name. And the place becomes sanctified. Our consciousness is dull, so we're not recognizing that so well. But the philosophical underpinnings behind this conception, the Advaita Gyan conception of Bhagavan being all diversity and non-dual. And it's not a contradiction. And here's the philosophy that explains it, this oneness of self, oneness of activity, oneness of paraphernalia, all connected with Bhagavan through the medium of bhakti. Okay, you survived. I didn't put you to sleep. Any comments? Yeah. Questions?
Maharaj, on this point of oneness of interest between the self and Krishna.
Yeah.
So we hear that's one of the symptoms of surrender, that let your desires be my desires, not the other way around. It seems like that vision of oneness and of interest could be a little bit abused, in the sense of perhaps as neophytes, our having immature or premature enthusiasm to act on that platform. Like sometimes devotees say, well, Krishna's interest has to come before my interest. I mean, my interest is, Krishna's interest is my interest, the oneness of interest. So then, therefore, we might inadvertently sacrifice our health. Sometimes we sacrifice our family. We've heard many stories of devotees that would just go out there and do so much sankirtan and this, that, and the other thing. And 10 years later, they realize, you know, I actually kind of made a mistake because my wife left me, my kids turned out to be, you know, nonsense or whatever. There was neglect of the family inadvertently in the name of surrendering to let the desires of Krishna or my spiritual master or my temple commander or whatever be my interest. Or sometimes one might be situated in an ashram that's not actually fit for them at that time in the name of not being selfish and being concerned about my own selfish interests, and then 10 years later they crash and have a embarrassing...
The varieties of cheating are unlimited, or self-deception.
Yeah, so I'm not really referring to like a cheating mentality, but just that we think we're doing the right thing. Or there's pressure, so we just, you know, kind of go with the flow, the enthusiasm, and I don't know, just... Many devotees.
Well, enthusiasm is good. Enthusiasm can be misguided enthusiasm, is what you're saying. So, we should always, Prabhupada, we must be guided by the, specifically to this Kriya Advaita, the activities that are in a state of oneness. We must be guided by the spiritual master about this oneness, semicolon, we should not manufacture our own oneness. We need guidance.
Krishna. It's a kind of clarification.
Clarification?
Yeah. You talk about bhava-dvaita, kriya-dvaita. Sorry, the second one is, first is a bhava, second is a dravya, and then third is a kriya. I think kriya is a devotional service, right?
Well, it depends. The word is translated according to its use, the context. Kriya means activity.
But Krishna is using the words yat kurusi, yat asnasi in that.
But kriya means activity, and depending upon the application, the context, it can be, the implication can be this or that or something else. So don't get stuck on it's got to mean this. It can also mean that or something else.
What is that something else?
It means it depends on application. It's a rule of Sanskrit. There are different meanings of words, and depending upon the application or the context, it can have different meanings. In general, it means activity. Kriya.
So you told that bhava is praman, everything is one, but assuming that everything is one, and you told dravya is like a wife, children, they have their own plans, they do ceremonies and do their different goals and interests in the life, and kriya is when you work, specifically you do the activities for devotional service. That's
yeah,
what I'm
for pleasing Krishna.
For pleasing Krishna.
For the satisfaction of Krishna.
So can we understand this, that bhava dvaita is sleeping state, kriya, dravya is dreaming, and kriya is wakefulness?
No, it's the other way around. Waking is what you think of yourself. Kriya is the dreaming, and the paraphernalia is the deep sleep.
I didn't get it, sorry. Okay.
Awake, sleep, awake, dreaming, sleep. That's the language that's used here. Or I'm used to awake, sleep but dreaming, and deep sleep. So deep sleep indicates that the furthest state of ignorance, paraphernalia, stuff, dravya. Awake is what you think of yourself, and dreaming is likened to activity, whether it's activity in a dream or activity when you're not dreaming, but the activity of acting through false ego, because ahankara is active. Whether you're doing activities in a dream, you're at the center of the dream. False ego is operating, even in dreams. Dravya. No. Kriya, activity. 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 When you're doing things, you're at the center, consciousness-wise. Because these three states are three states of consciousness. Awake, consciousness, dreaming, consciousness, and deep sleep, consciousness. Yeah, they're connected. They're connected. Ignorance is an upadhi. Ishwara is an upadhi. Because all there is Brahman. So upadhis cover Brahman and you get the, you know, diversity. But Mayavadi teaches the upadhi is either real and it has to, by knowledge, has to be dismissed, or it's not real, and by knowledge you can understand it's not real, and it's no longer operative or acting. I don't want to get into it. Why, you know, just I don't want to get into it.
But my other thing that Eastward conception is also false.
Yes, I was just looking at the last sentence of the purport 61, and it says the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. The material world is temporary or false, but the spiritual world is an eternal reality. But we also hear that the material world is temporary, but it's not false.
Yeah. The language there is, it's temporary or false in the sense that it's temporary.
Pieces of it, but it's pretty complete.
Yeah,
so you might want to go there.
He's really
have to give some sort of direction to how to properly do it. Is that right?
Some sort of direction to
how to properly be an Advaita Bhad in a civilized society.
How to properly distinguish?
Or be, or have that, you know, propensity. Like I'm thinking, yesterday we had some time with some group of people from the Unity Church. They much into this oneness.
Because they have